Hello and welcome, Race Brain Podcast. My name is Rich Ryan. Joining me as always, Bracken Crocker, Jack Bauer. Today, we are going to talk about a couple happenings within the Hyrox world, a few races in the OCR space, and then maybe a little bit of CrossFit Open. Not a ton of stuff going on this week, but we got stuff that we can always talk about. BK, how's your week going so far?
Had a bad week, Rich. We had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament and we got worked. That just led right into my week. I'm a failed, beaten down man right now.
Did you get worked or did your team? Because if you played well, you know, it's a team sport. It sucks that you lost, but at least you can keep your head on
my team.
Okay.
I always need a little bit more space to operate. 3-on-3 was never my jam.
There should be a ton of space in 3-on-3, right?
I like to get out and move. Like
there's no transition.
No transition. Not my game. I'm not a half court kind of player.
Neither am I. So we got a highlight package we're going to put up in a little bit online. You'll get to watch the
Crocker sizzle reel.
Cook a little sizzle reel, but we took a beating. It was me, my dad, and your sister.
And you guys got worked. The heck, you had a ringer.
How good were these people?
A lot of people who were young and large.
Okay,
and skilled.
I see. That's hard.
It's a tough combination to face.
Yeah. That's hard. So we are actually going live today for Patreon only. We're revamping our Patreon program. It's something that was certainly lacking in the past. But if you do want to support us here at Race Brain, you can check out that Patreon link down below. We now have a Facebook group specifically for our Patreon members. So we can keep that conversation going and kind of get ideas. And really, the people that want to talk about this, there's a place to talk about OCR and hybrid racing. And we're going to be live streaming the episodes just for Patreons only. So shouts to all of our Patreon members if they're checking this out or not, but it's the first time doing it. So we're going to see.
Yeah. And we've got a couple of things in the works. Hopefully those get introduced to the patrons as well.
We got to keep that close to the chest though. Cause we don't know.
I'm not mentioning it, very vague, but it's cool if it happens.
It's like a race brain guest. I mean, a TRP guest. You can't announce it.
Nope.
Speak it into non-existence.
So let's start with Hyrox this weekend. We had a race down in Houston. A couple of cool things that I do want to talk about in terms of the innovation that Hyrox continues to try to roll out. But let's talk about the results real fast. On the men's side, Joe Kilmer continues to impress and improve. He ran a 60.08. This dude's going to be in the Elite 15 at some point. He's a young guy. He trains hard. He races aggressive. He doesn't care who's out there. And he's won. He's always in these Texas races. He's up there. Dawson Miller was second, 61.34.
That's our second straight week he's mentioned on the podcast.
That's right. That's a UW Whitewater Warhawk for you.
Wow.
First pro race.
Did great.
So he went sub 60 open and then 61 pro.
Yeah. And this is coming off of work. If I had to guess, I'd say he's running three times a week, probably less than 20 miles. This is a NCAA D3 steeplechase champ.
Champ. What was his time?
He was sub 9 for sure.
Well, yeah. I hope he's freaking sub 9.
I don't know his exact time, but then he underwent Achilles surgery and hasn't built back up, but found the weight room in the meantime. And just like you'd expect from someone who's like 6'4". And really fast, is just good on ergs.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't put a lot of ski erg work in and can just ski. So this is him without being able to use his running.
I'm looking at his results. He didn't just go sub 9. He went 8:46.
Oh, wow. That's good.
That's definitely sub 9. Yeah.
So anyways, debut 61 without utilizing any of his running because he can't train his running because he's so careful about using his Achilles post-surgery.
And his running's fine in terms of like where you'd see someone in Hyrox. I mean, he's not running slow.
Right. This is a 4.0 miler, you know, 14 low, 5K guy, 8:46, 7 steeple.
14:27 listed 5K. Yeah.
So he's a real runner. He hasn't even begun to tap into that side. So anyway, pro debut, Dawson, I'm impressed.
And 30-34. So he's got some years. He's got some years.
Yeah.
2015. He's on the low end. He's probably 30.
Yeah, 2015 is when he competed at D3 Nationals and won the steeplechase. So 9 years ago, yeah, probably 30. right at the beginning of that age group.
How much is he? He's 6'4"? What's he weighing?
I guess he's 6'3", maybe. 6'3", 6'4".
That's pretty, it's good size.
He's got the frame you want.
Robin Percival from France was 63.56, rounding out the top three. So some young and up-and-coming athletes just to look out for. Is he still in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's Milwaukee.
Nice, dude.
We got a run together a couple of months ago.
Fourth fittest? What are you at this point in? Fifth fit? Where does like Marquez?
We're in the honorable mention. We're in the writing category.
Okay. Are the Green brothers, are they Milwaukee also?
Yeah. Well, Wauwatosa technically, but Milwaukee okay. County, yes.
All right. So you've got Dawson, you've got Marcus Wallace, you've got the Green brothers.
Matt
Rock. Not looking good right now.
Matt Gross. Matt Gross.
We're going to have to introduce Dawson to the Debo of DecaFit and see how that goes. Because, I mean, he might get bullied.
Are you going to see him soon?
Yeah.
He's gearing up for Anaheim. Yeah. Gearing up for Anaheim. So we're going to see him. I mean, yeah, if I'm Joe, if I'm Dawson, I'm looking at Anaheim as well. You know, like, who knows, right? With this type of improvement that these guys are seeing, I don't think Joe has raced anybody. For some reason, Joe Kilmer always gets stuck in like the further, like he's never in like the first heat. But he'll race, man. He'll put it out there. And two athletes are going. We're going to have Colin. We're going to have Anas, Magida, Marcus Wallace. But if I was those guys, I would stick my nose right in that. I would definitely be circling Anaheim.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. You treat it as your first major.
It's an opportunity that basically no one has had, like a rate, or I guess an open race that can qualify you based on place to the world championships is not something that has happened yet.
No.
So
you
have
to guarantee to race the best and eyes on like a major, kind of. It's baby nationals. You got to do it.
Got to do it. On the women's side, Christy Irama O'Connell takes the win, 64.37. Lauren Rentala was 67.41 with a PR. And Mary Beth Coogan was 68.34. So the story here is Christy O'Connell, former CrossFit Games athlete for several years, very prominent in that space. I'm not sure where, I mean, she's been top 10 for sure at CrossFit, at the CrossFit Games. But this was someone that who's also run 3.0 for the marathon, 3.04 or something like that. So if the and in terms of a frame, CrossFit athletes are, even if they're not, they don't look big out there, they're still pretty yoked in terms of how they look in HYROX. Christy's frame is probably more like a HYROX athlete than a CrossFit. So she was the one looking at it like, all right, she can come in here. Like she could be a problem. And a 64.37 debut is pretty good. We set the line, Jack. 65.
That was a good line. Bracken, you win the contest.
Nailed it.
This one. I think you're 64.48. Bracken, your second straight win on the show means nothing, but congratulations on your decent guess.
Decent guess. That is insight.
I think I think that guesswork. Setting the line was a little bit more impressive than your guess because you were basing it off of that.
Jack, no, I said that for props here.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I have to clarify a comment I made last episode. I got a little bit of a DM heat for it. A lot of people messaging me lately.
A lot of people messaging me.
We referenced Ricky and then later on referenced her and said she's coming over. And I said, and as far as I know, she hasn't tested positive. People didn't make that was a slight on a previous CrossFit Games entrant who has tested positive and then came to our sport. I have something else to do. It was not a slight on CrossFitters and her. It wasn't saying everyone's doping in CrossFit. It was saying it was a playoff. The last time we had someone come over big name, they were already dirty. So that was not about Chrissy whatsoever. And I want to be clear about that. I thought it was clear, but it wasn't.
I got what you were saying, but I can see how someone misinterpreted it. And Rich, just a little bit more information. So Christy O'Connell made the games 6 times as an individual, 1 time as a team member. Every single year, 2016 to 2022, worst finish, 13th as a solo. Best finish was 8th, which she got 2 8ths, 2 9ths, 2 13ths.
So impressive because almost nobody knows someone personally who's qualified for the games.
Athletes are rare. They're really, really good.
And then to be top 10 means you're well-rounded. Or like your local 10. Monster who may have made the games that you know got there off their lifting and didn't do anything at the games.
Mm.
She pairs it with the ability to go top 10. And that means that Hyrox is a good place for her.
And when you watch the events themselves, like if we really break these things down, the ones usually like the one of the first events of the weekend, or there's some sort of longer 30 to 60 minute workout that has like running, swimming, biking, something that's going to be longer, bigger engine based work. She was always there with like, it was like her Tia or Sam Briggs. Like those were the three. Time. Yeah. She would be the one who'd be pushing the run portion or like these longer endurance pieces. So she's clearly built for endurance. So
this you is pull a, up her splits. Just I sure share that on the screen.
I sure can.
Yeah.
She paced well.
That I saw a lot of 4.0s for her running, if I'm not mistaken.
Skeeter pretty chill. Yeah, push the sled well.
14s, I guess, yeah.
14s, yeah. And we don't know what this setup was like. Roxanne 3.0s. This seems like a fairly standard, if there is a standard for Hyrox. This is pretty close. Lunges are solid. I mean, these stations are fairly elite. Looks like she took the ergs a little easy.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere else, like.
Yeah, probably I mean, good for your first race. You don't want to get underwater there.
Totally.
That shows that she's looked into this sport more than the casual CrossFitter might. Not casual CrossFitter, CrossFitter who's casual about hybrid sports. She came in and understood, I know people blow up here. I'm not going to blow up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pushed it well. Pull was fair. 4.08 on the pull. Her runs were, you know, kind of what you'd expect. I mean, it looks like she pushed the sled a little bit too hard.
Look at the run after the pull, though.
Yeah. Pull came back down. Burpee broad jumps is pretty consistent, but then it came down after the row, which we would expect.
So yeah. if you add her two splits up, you've got her run time 33:34 and her rock zone time of 3:08. So you're looking at 36:42. I just looked at DC and Vivian, Lauren Griffith, Viola, Amy Bevilacqua, all of them were 35 low to 35 mid. So she's about a minute behind them on running and who knows how rock zones are because they didn't have a separate rock zone split in DC
right.
in their results. So we know her station work is fantastic. And that just shows me in her debut to be only 1 minute behind on the runs plus the rock zone right there. We already know she's got promise based on all of her CrossFit games. She's the real deal. She'll probably be Elite 15 if she goes to Anaheim, honestly.
Yeah. And even her deviations from her normal runs, a 4:25, that's not a blow up run. That's a, oh shoot, this is getting into my legs run. But then she came back from it. We didn't see her cross towards the fives, which is what you'd expect to see from someone their first time who hasn't felt it and realized, oh, I can move this sled quick. She self-regulated well. And got back, the 4:14 run tells me, I think, the most out of this whole thing, coming off the sled pull.
4:07 tells me, after the rower,
right.
Most people's legs are a little beat up. That was her...
Your heart rate comes down on the row. This is
I know. And
that is the place where you think it would come down.
4:38 for her on the rower should be very easy for
sure.
her.
Yeah. But the fact that she pushed fast, slightly paid for it, got back on it, and ran another 4:14, like to that right there is the sign of someone who gets it and can do it.
Yeah. And for this duration, she must put in a little bit of prep. I don't know how, and that's going to be the question with an athlete like this who, how many games appearances, Jackie, did you say? Six?
Six solo, one team. Every single result between 7 and 13.
Right. So going to the games that many years, that's like real training. You don't go to the games without it being basically your full-time job. And the way that Hyrox is going, it's going to be similar to that. It might not be to the place where CrossFit is now where it is a full-time job, but you're training a lot. You're going to have to train a lot. And if she's someone who knows what it takes to get the most out of herself, is she going to want to do that for Hyrox? Like,
well, and how maxed out is she in some areas is the question as well.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like her debut is pretty solid. I mean, she should be fighting for, I would imagine she could push to the top five in the world if she pushed her chips into this.
She can drop a minimum 45 seconds combined off ski ergs. Minimum.
Well, her wall balls, there's like 30 seconds right there.
Yeah.
honestly.
Her lunges are stupid. 308.
Already good at lunges.
Lunges are good. Yeah.
She'll run better off the lunge in the future. Like she has 2 minutes waiting here. Just on experience and some specificity, I would think.
Mm. Is she the type of athlete who you would be like, her station work is going to be so good anyway, just due to her athletic background for basically the past decade? Just work on your run, get faster, and the rest will just kind of come together? Or do you still kind of keep what's worked for her in the past?
No, what style of athlete she trained as.
Mm.
I don't know. They do so much work.
Her listed squat is 330 and 380 for her deadlift on her CrossFit profile.
I mean, she doesn't need to get stronger. She just needs to work on that high end. Like, she's probably chilling on these runs and on, like, she was clearly chilling on the ski, clearly chilling on the row.
And she won by 3 minutes. So she was not in a battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting that it would be cool if she did go to Anaheim, and if she did qualify for the Elite 15, it'd be great to have someone like that in the mix. But again, it's like, it's just a lot, you know, for someone to like be like, oh, okay, now I'm going to push all my chips into here. We haven't seen that, right? Have we seen that in OCR even? I mean, I guess Sean Roberts would be the closest, but is he all in? Same thing. Like, is he like in the way that he was in and as fast as he did?
It's always tough with gap years. I don't know what her transition out of CrossFit into this looked like.
She was a games athlete, top 10 in 2022. So it's...
She ran a marathon in that time.
304. She's still fit.
I'm not saying she's not, but what I'm saying is, like, with Anas, the gap years are tough because you just never know if you ever get back to that thing you had when it was your full-time job and then you let it slide a bit. Like, he's a different type of monster now. His body is not the same body it was. Mm. And he intentionally did that, and that's good. But so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what she trained like. I don't know what she did in that year. Was it all marathoning? And this is her off no station work. Or did she just, is she obsessed with CrossFit and still CrossFits 3 times a day and was just running volume? I have no clue.
She has like a social presence. She's on YouTube and everything like that. I think that she's more pushing toward like the Nick Bear hybrid athlete type of thing. It's like, do some bodybuilding, run some miles, and you have both. That is kind of where I see this going for her. Like, she's probably going to release a HYROX program now, and then she's not going to necessarily compete here. She's just going to like tap into the market. If I was to put some money on the outcome here, if it was her pushing toward the Elite 15 versus just existing in this space and being known as an athlete who can do this for her business, I would think it's more to the business.
She's going to make more money off her programs and notoriety than off of racing.
Yeah, she probably already has brand deals based off of her following.
Yeah.
Now, she doesn't need HYROX.
Yeah.
And, other than and to Bracken, sell programs.
Bracken, just to add on to your Anas thing real quick, because his gap year thing, he ran his sub 4 mile in 2016. So yeah, you're right. It was probably 6 years at a minimum before he made his debut. We don't know what he was doing in between there. We have a year and a half, 2 year window with Christy. So it's a little bit smaller, but it's still a gap. It's not like she's, you know, finished in June. And then it's like, all right, September, I'm going to do my first HYROX right after, you know, doing that.
Yeah, the type of training that it takes, as Rich alluded to, is so enormous for CrossFit that you get to the end of that and you either are adverse to having to commit like that again, or you've wired yourself to be a Dylan Scott who just needs to be training and you need the next thing to fill your cup. So I think that'll partially determine what she's going to do here.
So that's actually a pretty good transition. We had some good mixed doubles teams out there this week. Lauren Griffith and Isaac Sanderson ran 51.59. The record's 51.18.
Is that the same weight you and I used?
They would have buried us.
Yeah, that's the same weight. Yep.
What did we run?
Faster 51's 51 something. Yeah.
What did they run?
We take that 51, win. 51.59.
That's embarrassingly close.
Lauren Griffith is good.
What did Ryan and Meg get?
They were like, it was like in the teens, I think, like 50, 51. 18,
so they were 51 something, not 50 something. So this, this tandem of Isaac and Lauren Griffith were that close to Meg and Ryan. That is insane.
Yeah, the young guns.
Outrageous.
I like it. They're just too, like,
They're aggressive.
We saw Lauren Griffith set the doubles record with Lauren Weeks, but this is just like two younger athletes with Isaac. You know, it's not like she did double up with a Ryan Kent or somebody like that. It's like, no, like this is a young team that carried it themselves, which is pretty exciting.
And Isaac just did a Lula recently. He's done world's toughest mudder. He got 90 miles. He did Deca Strong. Like the guy's got such crazy range.
Her running really, really impressed me in that doubles.
Yeah. Yeah. She's good. She's really good. Belle McFarland, Sean White, they are the doubles team. They're 53-35. I brought that up, the how much training, what happens with too much training. We had Mal O'Brien show up in her first Hyrox with her partner, Cooper Marsh, and they ran 60-35. Mal O'Brien, Mal O'Brien, who was a CrossFit Games podium athlete at least once, has kind of ever, famous, I believe. Kind of famously stepped back from competing at CrossFit. And now we're seeing her kind of come over here for fun. This I think means nothing. I think we will not see her here often.
I agree.
But it's like, that's kind of how I think Hyrox is going to exist to CrossFitters. Like CrossFitters are just like aware of it now, but I think they're just going to do it for fun. They're just going to go out like, oh, I need a longer aerobic session. Like, let me just jump in this thing, you know, kind of how like Spartan race kind of existed that way in those communities as well. It'd be like, oh, the thing that comes to town, let me pop in and see how it is, not take it too seriously. And then like just never not train for it after either.
That was exactly how I was going to describe it. Cause in the early years, you'd see world-class level runners like Max King and Renee Metivier at the time. And we saw Julia Webb randomly enter a Spartan race in Portland. You had some real high-level athletes, Max Famigliati, or I forget how you pronounce
Anthony,
the name.
Anthony Famigliati.
Max Famigliati.
Virginia. That was my guy.
But he was an Olympic steeplechaser and he did a race in like Virginia or something. And they didn't do well, but they still tried it out because it was a thing to do and it was the hot new thing. And I feel like Hyrox, you know, 5-6 years in, that's kind of, it's got enough momentum at this point that some of the athletes who are like, I don't want to put all my chips in the CrossFit basket anymore, but I still like working out and it's a cool thing. I could team up with a friend or I could just see how I do. Maybe I like it. Maybe I don't like it. We might not see Ricky Garrard again, but he at least tried it. And I don't know. I feel like it's going to be very similar to what we saw with Spartan and OCR in the early years.
Yeah, it's a good parallel. How Spartan existed for elite runners, that could be like, oh, let's see. That's kind of what Hyrox could be for CrossFitters, right? It's like, maybe I'll pop in and see if I'm good. And if I am, great. Most likely there won't be, right? Like we just saw, well, Chrissy O'Connell, she could be the outlier in that, but she's like the best suited. Probably Tia would do fine, one would imagine. But again, like there's a very select few who are the elite of the elite.
I mean, have we seen the best people who we would think would do well in Hyrox? Because we did see Ricky Garrard, who is a pretty solid runner by CrossFit standards. We've seen Sam Briggs in that elite 12 that they had back in the day. Christy Ramo, obviously fantastic runner for CrossFitter. I feel like the ones who've dipped their toe in so far are the ones you'd expect based on their running background.
Yeah. But I think just like OCR, the top runners wouldn't make the best OCR athletes. I still think that about CrossFit.
I agree.
I think it's the people that we don't know their name who do really well at regionals and can't quite make it to the games because it gets too heavy.
They don't have a heavy
snatch.
Those
are the people that are significantly better endurance athletes than the people who make the games. I think those are the ones who, like, if I were recruiting to start the Olympic Training Center for Hyrox, that's what I'd be looking at. I'd be checking all the open scores for the people that can work and just run out of pure power.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, that's Miriam Van Roer. That's Lauren Weeks. That's Michaela Norman, right? Like, we see it on the women's side.
That's the archetype.
On the men's, we haven't necessarily seen it. Again, Hunter's not as good at CrossFit as those athletes.
No, but that archetype, like he'll just never be powerful enough, but he's got a crazy engine.
He's got a crazy engine, yeah.
Like CrossFit, but he can't make it down the pipeline.
No. Yeah, and I think we talked about it before, just like the body types of the men that do well in CrossFit, they're just so huge. They're just, they have so much muscle mass on them that it'll be a hard transition. But you know, it's fun to see these athletes come out. It's fun to talk about. And the more eyeballs that it brings, the better, you know, especially if they had a good experience, which I'm sure Christy did have a great experience, you know, taking a win. Can't be mad about that. The more that, like, you know, that it will be talked about and CrossFitters are aware. I mean, it would be anybody who's like in the sport of CrossFit or even like follows it or is at a gym that cares about it. They know what Hyrox is at this point.
Yeah. I was back in New Hampshire for Christmas and I had a Hyrox shirt on when I went to a CrossFit gym to work out and someone asked me about it and they were just a casual CrossFitter, not high level athlete or anything. Like they're definitely aware of it at this point.
As much as I didn't love Ricky doing it because of the implication, it's so good for the sport.
Yeah.
Him showing up and making one post about it means the whole CrossFit world knew about Hyrox.
Mm-hmm. Lance Armstrong did a Spartan race. Pretty similar. Busted doping, high level, you know, world champion or podium level athlete, tries a new sport, enough random new people look at it. But did he bring new people to it, do you think? Or do you think Ricky's bringing more exposure to it? I think Ricky might have had a little bit more success in getting more people looking at Hyrox than Lance Armstrong did for Spartan, for instance.
Totally. For sure. Randy Moss blew it up. Blue Spartan. It was like, that was in the prime. There should be a graphic of like.
Randy Moss wore his trifecta medal to when he was on the air. Like after he completed that, he's like, I got this.
And everybody's like, boo. That was kind of cool. Yeah.
I mean, he stepped off course.
He was in the car.
His neck.
Yeah. That would be like someone stepping off course after sled push or something and seeing like a massage therapist halfway through.
He's got to be like, you got to own that cold the way BK did. You got to drop out if you're too cold. You don't get in the car.
I got in the car and I took a ride to base camp. And I got in a hot tub and ate beef jerky and called my wife and cried.
That's what a real man drops off.
It didn't open up that wide receiver pipeline to Spartan that we were hoping for.
We thought
Ocho Cinco was coming up next. Yeah.
Now you'd have to get the gritty wide receivers, the weight room guys, the high IQ Smith players.
It's always interesting trying to figure out how these influencer types are going to really bring in new people or new money. Yeah. Where CrossFit, they're just going through the open. I do want to talk about that a little bit later, but they had, oh my God, I can't believe I forget. Does anyone know the WWE champ's name right now?
Oh, I saw the announcement. Seth Rollins.
Yes. They had him do an announcement and like, I listened to a couple podcasts for CrossFit and one of them's like overwhelmingly positive for everything. And they're like, this is such a great idea. Like bring this like, yeah, like does.
Who's their audience?
Like, yeah. Like are WWE fans, do they not know about CrossFit? Like, and if they do, are they going to be like sick?
Yeah.
You could have a following of 500 million people, but if they're all not people that care about fitness, then it didn't help the sport at all.
All right. So I'm on Seth Rollins, the CrossFit Games. He did post something on March 4th because it was with Colton Mertens and Justin Medeiros at Justin's gym. They did the live announcement for 24/2 and that got 21,000 likes. And most of his normal posts are like 50,000 to 100,000 or so. So I don't think enough people really cared compared to his normal content is what it looks like. Not that 100% likes tell everything, but yeah.
Sorry. 100% of Ricky's followers are interested in working out.
Right. That makes sense.
Or interested in ripped dudes. One of the two.
Both. Like,
it's, yeah.
I don't follow.
It's a smaller pool, but they're all interested to swim with you. And that's Spartan used to miss that mark a lot.
When you go the influencer route, it's like, yeah, they're just like, how many followers? Cool. Like,
awesome.
Are any
we
of them
1%?
Right. And people just like scroll through it. It's like, oh, this is another for sale posts like that I just can just ignore from this person. Probably paid a ton.
Yeah.
Probably paid a ton. Another something interesting that happened at Hyrox Houston, they rolled out an automatic wall ball
counter
sensor. There was a sensor in the target
plate or something. Yeah.
Something that, if you hit it, it would change the reps, right? And I believe how it was working is there were judges still assigned to those lanes. And apparently there's only 3 or 4 of the lanes. It wasn't all of them, which is good. But the judge had some kind of app that could no rep them on depth. But the technology was counting the reps that hit the target.
Yeah.
What do we think?
I think it's good overall from a visual perspective, because a lot of times you're at the wall balls for like 3 to 5 minutes at the end of a race, and you don't really have a good perspective on how many an athlete is done. You can see the judge with their hand in the air just counting off, but that doesn't tell you if you're at 90, if you're at 80, whatever. They're just counting at that point. So I think having the visual and a live scoreboard is definitely going to help the live broadcast and people, and just in general, like, you can look up, you're like, oh, I've got 30 more to go. Like, it's actually a helpful tool. And I did talk with Patrick Hamill, who does a lot of the stuff for Spartan and Deca for timing. He also listens to the show, really insightful guy. And he said that they still have a judge there, like you said, with an iPad to mark no reps if you don't go low enough. But it seemed to do really well and would be really good for televised events, in his opinion, based on what he saw in person. So we'll see how it goes, but it's a pretty cool technology.
Yeah. It's really difficult to judge things with your head moving. When you see judges go here, 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 yeah. It's just not it's not a reassuring visual to start with. And it's not an accurate means of judging parallel. So when all you have to do is pretty much just sit there and watch the hip crease, like, yeah, good. That's better.
Right. And there could be a time where there could be some sort of sensor that is locked into
clicker
each one.
Already.
Oh, they tried to do the clicker thing.
No. Like the hip, like the there's an angle clicker for squatting to depth. I'm glad you like that.
I like that point. Good point.
The athlete has to wear it.
Okay. That's how that
works.
There's
versions of things. It just clicks when you hit parallel. Click, click, click.
Now, there is definitely technology in sport now that can like tell like a goaltend, for example, like it would just automatically know if that ball is coming down and like that takes that out of perspective. So there's got to be something for the visual.
Easy. Yeah.
They've got in soccer, they've got like the plane, did the ball cross over the goal line into the net? Like they can do that in reviews. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tennis is a real good example with that, with their slow-mo replay.
So that could be really interesting. And I would imagine if depth was judged by technology, I mean, I don't know. Do you think it would? My gut reaction is that would make time slower, right? More people would get hit with that, probably across the board, maybe not the elite end.
I think initially it would make things slower, and then people realize, I don't want to get no rep. I actually have to do the right depth, and then you kind of work your way into it, because you get no rep enough, you're like, I'm so sick. I've done 120 wall ball movements, but only 100 of them counted. I just wasted 20 of them and I'm more sore. Like, I think it'll actually correct things in the long term.
But there could be a number of athletes who are going too deeper than necessary. Like Meg Jacoby, for example, like she doesn't need to get that type of depth. Like she's probably good for another couple inches to not get that low. And you can kind of ride that line a little bit. So it might be able to speed up some of the times if you can find that exact parallel position, which we can't, which right now it's like you kind of have to err on, because it's so hard to see. It's yes. It's so hard to see right now.
At which point those people can bounce a little better. So
still more motion.
More motion, less, it's more energy saving though. So I don't know. I think by the time you get to rep 60 and above, the deep squatters actually finish better. I think that can faster rep early, but it's more muscularly demanding. Anyway, what it might do is force people who don't have a reason to learn how to get mobile enough to get deep and bounce to actually become better at wall balls.
But how are we going to know, unless you actually have that technology? Like a lot of people, they'll be at the gym and they think they're doing a good job, and then they show up on race day and it's like, oh, I definitely wasn't doing it to form.
You would just have to trial it during the race.
Yeah.
Let's see what I can get away with. Try it. Like, I would start the first 5 or 10. You're like, all right.
It is interesting though that I've yet to see this in like an automated type of judging. We haven't seen that in CrossFit. So HYROX being on the cutting edge of it is kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'd imagine it's mostly just because HYROX, it's like, HYROX is like just wall balls. And CrossFit, it's like,
you don't need it for
10 movements. You don't need that, but it's also like 10 different things that the judge kind of needs to follow you through. You know,
there's also not decades of protocol Like if the NFL started over right now, if it was presented as a new sport, people would be like, sideline judges with chains is a stupid idea. Just use a sensor or just use someone up in a booth with video replay. Use some sort of laser tracking for the ball.
Superimpose like, we don't have to the yellow line.
That. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have sideline markers so that when the ball hits the ground and whatever, the clock automatically stops. We don't have to have people guess, waving your arm. Like there's so many things you'd be like, that's dumb. Well, let's not do that. But because they have decades of that's the pattern, it's taking forever for them to implement new change. Where Hyrox is starting up in the age of technology. And so why, in their eyes, like, why wouldn't you just find an app for that?
Well, are we at the point where pretty much every sport is trying to introduce new technology live? Like we've seen wave light technology for track and field. Is this the hybrid racing equivalent of it? Is this the best they can do for that?
That's interesting because like something like wave light,
which was used prominently this weekend. I don't know if you watched that 10K.
I did not. I'm still behind. I'm still catching up on Worlds Indoor.
Best.
That's where I'm at.
No spoilers.
That's where I'm at. No spoilers. Thank you. Got my Peacock prescription. Not prescription. Subscription.
Subscription.
Won't work for the 10K.
Mm-mm. That was slow track.
And so do not subscribe because they're a succubus on the industry.
But it's available on YouTube for free. I watched it there a day later.
Yeah. After the fact. Yeah.
After the fact. That's fine. I'm rarely catching track and field live.
Rich isn't up to date.
Yeah, I'm
catching up on the Tokyo Olympics still.
I had to watch all 7 quarterfinals of the 60 hurdles. Okay, it takes work. You're out here just checking the final, not me. Yeah, I mean, I'm watching them all.
Can't be bothered with flow track. Yeah. I treat flow track like a Midwestern Planned Parenthood. I'm out there picketing it. I'm marching against it.
What
I'm
they,
not
what,
for it.
What have they done to you? What's wrong here?
They buy out the meets that used to be streamed for free and they put on a professional coverage that you have to pay for. And they historically have horrible coverage. They have a terrible website. Their coverage is terrible. There's always glitches, which we accept from free live streams. But if you're putting it behind a paywall, it has to be good. And they don't care about track. Flow sports is universal sports. There's flow wrestling, you know, flow everything. It's just it's a corporation that doesn't care. And as a result, they don't do a good job on it.
Yeah, I won't give away the results, but the first 8 minutes of that 10K coverage was just them listing off athletes, not describing like what they did. They're like, oh, we forgot to mention so-and-so. It's like, you have a start list. Like, you should be able to ID these people and mention them appropriately.
That's some Spartan race shit right there. Who's in second place in our world championship? No idea. Couldn't tell you. But this is a great event. Anything else on flow track?
No, that's enough.
Get back to the wave light.
But the wave light.
I'm going to get a Planned Parenthood message this week. That's for sure.
we're getting ready. Just swap the signs out. So wave light, it is like a pacing technology, right? It's like lights that will be set to a specific pace and then the athletes can see the light and basically follow. It's like a pacer for them. And that's to improve the end result, essentially, so we can see faster times.
You have a standard that you need to meet, it's really good. It doesn't do the drafting for you. It just ensures if you want to run 27 minutes, here's the beeper. Get in front of it, you did it.
You don't have to do math. You don't have to look at your watch. You could just sit there and hang out. Where this Hyrox one, it's more of just making sure that the quality of movement and that the quality of the standards are upheld. And I think that is a really good step for where we are right now in Hyrox. Before we get to like, let's see what these athletes can do. Let's help them out. It's like, we need to make sure everything is running smooth throughout the actual event. So I like this. And I'm not sure, is there anything else you think that we could add in here that's like glaring? If money wasn't an issue, if we could just add some sort of tech.
If money wasn't an issue, you would have a sensor in both shoes and like some sort of bracelet or wristband for burpee broad jumps. And the sensors would mark where your hands go down, and then your shoes would beep if you step past it or jump at the staggered step.
Love that.
If money was no option, that could happen.
Love that.
All right. Money was no option. I would just make them make a standard course every single time. Just who cares about technology? Just get the course the same every time.
Well, yeah.
Apples to apples. I know. I'm just saying.
No chance they'll do that. Yeah. BK, what's the performance center? Is that going to be it?
Yep. Yeah. Performance Institute.
That coming would be, up. That'd be the main deal. Get the Performance
Institute. I would dope so hard and I'd go sub 55. Yeah. Sub 60.
It's like a regular Icarus. Like, let me see how good I can get. And it's like, he's like a little bit better. Not even
pretty
that.
Decent. Yeah. Yeah.
Turns out I was never good or a very hard worker.
Yeah. I just improved. Yeah.
I just have high testosterone numbers now.
Yeah. Did you see the new long jump technology that's going on also?
I get confused about what's going on with this. Could you explain this?
So basically every single long jump competition, high school, track, or college, whatever, you've got a board and then it has a darker strip on there. If any part of your toe steps beyond that during your jump, there's a judge who's just looking at you sprinting down there, just staring at that point, and it'll raise a flag saying that you fouled. What they're so sick of, like the best jumpers having five fouls and one good one. It's just not good for TV viewership. They looked at the ratings and viewership dips a ton during long jump because there are just so many fouls. And what they're thinking of doing is getting rid of that like don't go past this marker and just having a big fat board and just laser measure it from your takeoff point. As long as you take off on this wider board at any point from there, you don't have to have the specificity with your steps like you normally do, you're good. And to me, that kind of takes away some of the precision. And I that would be like, oh, well, my stride would work a little bit better if the hurdles were like 6 inches a little past that. You should have to mold to the competition that's been around for well over 100 years than change it. But I understand why they're doing it for viewership.
I like this. I disagree entirely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a test of pure distance, much like high jump.
You can't fail a high jump.
Ability to scratch it. You're just testing who can jump the farthest.
High jump, they won't allow you to take off on 2 feet, and some people are 2 foot jumpers. Like, that's a limitation there. What if they
that's a physical limitation.
I think some people will go higher off of 2 feet.
You can't do 2 feet.
The reason you can't is so that you can't tumble. So that you can't do a round off, explode off 2 feet. Because now that's a gymnastics competition.
It's written in the rules because there's this guy, Isaiah Rivera, who has like he's a ridiculous dunker. And he's like, I would love to try high jump, but they don't let you do 2 foot. And there are a bunch of other 2 foot jumpers who think that they do well. They probably wouldn't.
No.
Because it's a form thing once you get above a certain height.
Right.
But I just know for a fact that 2 foot jump is not allowed because they've made a big deal about it.
Anyway, Jared Newby made a point in our group chat the other day that about race walking. He said it. I'd never understand it. It's like you're saying, I want to see who the fastest is, but I'm going to make a slower version of doing it. Who's fastest at the slower version?
It's goofy game.
And his point was like, it'd be like, who's the fastest motorcyclist, but both wheels.
Second gear.
Can't, you know, have to always want to be off the ground or whatever it is. Like, yeah, we can only stay in second gear. To me, that's the long jump. The precision of timing the board, it's like, well, that's not the point. Who can jump the farthest? So the purists will always hate it. The technical-based athletes will always hate it because they're losing an advantage. But because track and field will eventually die without viewership, they're making a call that the average audience member will always agree with, which is show me something spectacular. No one wants to see something spectacular and be like, you were offsides. You know, that's not fun.
Because didn't they make it harder for a second? Wasn't there something about the vertical plane that couldn't be crossed as well? And it would like, they would hit the board and it would look good. Did that not happen?
Really?
That's like 2 years? I thought so.
Not that I'm aware.
I thought that they made it worse. For a second. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But well, that's kind of
trying to change it up.
I think the false start technology made it worse. With like, if your reaction time is...
It's a guesstimation.
Point one, it's like, it's technically possible to have a reaction time of 0.1 second. Like,
that's what
you're probably trying to jump the gun, but if you're still within the legal parameters of it,
after the gun,
they'll DQ you.
And like visually,
timing,
it looks,
it's a
like,
way of life.
Yeah, you look at the visuals, jumping the gun, this doesn't make sense.
And that's another, the reaction to the gun itself has nothing to do with sprinting. Having to wait until you hear it and react is a totally different form of your nervous and muscular system interacting than the act of sprinting down the track. Now, fast twitch is generally fast twitch, but like, I don't want to test how they react to a gun and how they sprint. They need to time it because their reaction time sucks, but they're a great sprinter. Let them try to time it.
So do you think, let's say you run a 10.0, but your reaction time is 0.2. Should your result be a 9.8, even if you finish sixth in the heat? Like, you have the fastest pure covered the distance split, regardless of reaction?
No, I don't think so. I just don't think that if you have to time it in order to use your speed, that should be a bad thing.
I see what you're saying. They should be allowed to do it. Yeah. You're saying. Like,
yeah, it's a trick. It's a tip that only helps them. It doesn't hurt anyone else.
No.
Well, it's like swimming. It's like, oh, I'm not good at freestyling compared to everybody, but I'm really good at swimming on my back or doing the butterfly or whatever. They just introduce all goofy
and
movements.
And I'm actually cool at those.
Just different
wild card bracken.
backwards running. They should just do time trial where everyone gets like
The skip run.
A running start. You got like 5 meters to start and then you sprint.
Rolling start.
Yeah, I get a rolling start. I like that idea with the burpee broad jumps, though. Hand and feet sensors. That makes sense.
Very cost efficient.
Because everything else, I mean, yeah, like that. Those are the two issues. And maybe they'll figure out something.
For visual for the audience, if money was not an issue, you would have a complete heat sensing surface. And so as your hands came up, they would glow momentarily as your feet came up. And so you could visually, the audience could watch the foot not touch the glowing hand mark or exceed it.
Mm.
That'd be very futuristic. But yeah, just sensor something.
I think they just need to have people with like paintball guns. It's like, that was bad. One more, you're getting shot. That'd make sure you do the right form.
We said it from the start. If the punishment is harsh enough, no one will commit the crime.
Yeah.
Mm. And that, like, at the sled pull punishment is really gnarly right now. It's like you have to, and I think this happened to Alondra Greenlee at Worlds last year, but it's like you get two warnings because they need to be a little bit more clear about what's in bounds. We talked about this on the show too. Like, is it the front? Like, we got the double answer. They told us that the front, we could step on that line. The back, we could not. It's like,
Worse. Because you can't see backwards.
You can't see backwards.
Yeah. And it's a full line. It's not just the little stagger, little notch. It's a full line that you're tiptoeing, right? Not like the 4 yard line on the NFL is the little hash mark, but the every five is
there's
like a full
an
solid
easy
one.
Way to fix this.
Yeah.
You just put a mini rail at the back end and you go until your feet touch it.
People be falling over.
Well, you put it high enough then.
Just a block, a
make it like
box.
What's it called? One of those Gaga ball heights. One of those that we wrestled in that ring in Colorado Springs, Jack.
That super tiny. Okay, yeah, a little lip.
Yeah, it's like 3.5-4 feet tall. The audience still can see everything. Yeah. Put up a little.
It's like a shot put thing. Shot put circle.
Make it like just electroshock therapy. Let's just have like,
yeah, just zap them.
Just things that dangle down. So
if you just walk back until you touch the barrier and stop and walk up and look at your toes, that simplifies it.
I can't disagree, but we're just going to go one. And then like the judges were actually judging it different than what they told
us. You shouldn't be accounted for what's happening behind you when you're walking back. You shouldn't be accountable for that. Like, put something you can't screw up moving backwards. And on the front where you're watching, that's fine. Who cares?
Right. But the penalty is gnarly. It's like you have to pull it. You have to run back and pull it back 5 meters and then run back. Ugh. It's a big penalty. Like,
so it's actually times two. If you have to pull it back 5 meters, you have to bring it back another five. So it's a 10 meters just to go zero.
Yeah.
But you can walk as far the whole 10 meters backwards. You don't have to follow the rules to get it.
Oh.
So it's like points. It's like 1.5 punishment.
Regardless. Yeah. So we've obviously got a couple of stations that can be improved with technology for High Rocks specifically. I think DECA, they got their lunges a little bit better in the first broadcast with Knoxville, but Ram Burpees is probably where I would introduce it if we were to introduce it into DECA. What other zones? I can't really think of much.
Could you put a sensor? Can you put a sensor in the Ram somehow? I guess you can't really know what extension would be. I guess what it means.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe like where velocity.
You can measure like the angle of extension on your arm. I don't know. Yeah, but if we were to do this in OCR, where would you introduce technology? I think mine. You don't even need it for technology because you're spaced apart pretty well. It would just be don't grip above that solid. You know, the grip on a rope, for instance, that we keep seeing people.
Those are not against the rules. That's not against the rules.
I know.
It is not.
Make it against the rules.
Oh, they are.
Spartan really? Against the rules this year.
No way.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Spartan did a great thing. Good job, Spartan. thought we even talked about it on here. For starting in Jacksonville, you're not allowed to touch it anymore.
I missed that, but that's awesome. But if
unlimited funds, you just make it so it doesn't have to attach with the carabiner.
Yeah.
You just build fantastically bulletproof rigs.
That's what I think too. Just make it harder to do things that you don't want people to do.
I would have electronic course markings and sensors in the shoes so that people couldn't skirt sections of the course.
A mud detector for the rolling mud.
There's electronic line. There's a laser line through it. And if you breach it with your lower half, then go ahead, Jack. Yeah, I guess shoot it with a paintball.
What else do we have that, I guess, like the biggest, one of the bigger issues were like the penalties on the penalties, like the burpee penalties. I guess they take that out now because there are no burpees.
Yeah.
It's a good fix.
Unlimited money, I'd have 15 laser pistol stations per course, probably. Every other obstacle would be laser pistol.
Have it laid
Speaking
out.
Of technology, laser pistols.
That's true.
I got a fever.
Only prescription.
Pew, pew.
More pistol.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap that up. There were a couple of Spartan events this past weekend, one in the United States, one in Mexico.
Two in the U.S. There was Las Vegas and Houston. Atlanta. Houston Atlanta. The week before. Yeah. Matt B. Davis did it.
He was out there doing work.
Podium?
Matt did not podium, but he had a good time and he posted that he doesn't think Spartan is dead.
Well,
after his experience, they delivered. I agreed with his take on it.
I believe that's just we think that is the case here. The sports side is poor.
Dying.
Yeah.
Can I start with a shout out?
Yes.
My boy Brant Boggs went out there.
Brant Boggs.
Took second in the super. And he Kempsoned his finger. He dropped the Atlas stone.
Oof. He
dashed his finger.
Oh, no.
Got imaging today or last night. And he's casted for 6 weeks because he also cracked his finger. And he raced clean.
Wow.
He said Stairway to Sparta wasn't fun. Olympus wasn't fun.
No.
The man got through it. With a right hand index finger or no ring finger crushed.
Dang. You guys broken fingers before?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
I broke my right index one and my left pinky. Oh, dang. Yeah. It's curved. I got a boxer's break on this one and then just different, tripped and fell on a different one.
What did you punch that you broke something?
I may or may not have slipped off of a treadmill.
No, you definitely did.
Yeah.
I know. No punching in that boxer's fracture. Call that a treadmill punching. Fracture.
Yeah, it was a treadmill fracture.
You're out of pizza rolls and he just hit a stud when he punched the wall.
So mad.
Punched the microwave.
Bob!
Now, the other one, I was actually on a run with Ryan Kent and Robert Killian. We were doing a trail run and my contact, we came around some bend and it got so windy and my contacts got blurry. I'm like, I got to slow down real quick to like wipe away the tear. And I misstepped with it right as I'm like, I gotta slow down, and I wiped out and basically punched a rock on the way down. That was not fun.
I believe every sentence, every word in that story is definitely factual coming from you. That is how you would break your finger.
Yeah.
And I bet
you can ask both of them.
Ken Killian probably just laughs like, dude, come on, get up.
It was
my contacts
up.
The sun.
It was just rough.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brant's the man and he beat it through it. Ran clean with a mangled finger.
Did he do the Kempson chicken wing? Because I remember at Dallas Stadium, that's what he had to do because he couldn't grab onto it.
No, I don't believe he did. He just squeezed harder with the other digits.
Because that would be hard, like gripping with these three, lifting your other one out. That would be a very awkward grip. Maybe you could do it with like you're throwing a two-seamer or something. Baseball, but yeah. Good on him.
That is tough. That is tough.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't make the excuse, so I gave him his post-race excuse.
I like it.
And the podium, just period. Legit.
Yeah. Where Brian Beal took the podium both days, took the win on both.
He's been racing a lot this year already. Yeah.
And should we talk about the Mexican series? That has a little bit more.
Did you guys watch?
I did. Did you?
Not live.
I didn't watch live. I wasn't awake. Yeah, right.
I did not watch. But Angel Quintero takes the win. Ciro Perez takes second. Very close. 59-15 and 59-51, which is basically like
They
an OCR? That's like a lean to the tape.
There was a sandbag carry with maybe 6-7 minutes left in the race, and Angel had a 50-70 meter lead at that point.
Really?
It was closer. Yeah. And then you lost
50-70 of carry.
Of carry, yeah. I would say he made it from a 20-second race to a 40-second race with the carry and the remaining gauntlet at the end.
Hoist was at the end, which helped him.
And now Eugenio Godinez was third in 63:29. Yeah, it's funny. How does Angel's strength match up against athletes in like a U.S. national series?
This is acceptable.
It's fine. Yeah, he gets the job done. Yeah.
But in Mexico, he's the strongest dude. He just murks these guys.
I think Eugenio failed something because he was with them for the first 20 minutes. Spear and throw. Then, that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, no. Ciro failed the spear as well.
Mm.
Whoever was in second at that point, I think it was Ciro.
Ciro was with Angel the whole time.
Failed it. Failed the spear. Wow. Angel's the first one to hit it. Second on at the same time and missed.
Okay.
So he was off running his penalty loop while Angel was on the play drag.
Yeah. So real quick, just to mention this. So it was on the OCR report. And what they did was a simulcast where they had a separate stream that was in Spanish and then a separate one in the US that was in English. So that was kind of cool that listeners of both languages could do it. That shout out to them. And honestly, like, it's not an easy place to record in Puebla, but I'd say it was clear for like 80% of it or so. Would you say about the same, Bracken?
Yeah, unfortunately for them, they lost footage at the finish line.
Can't
be perfect.
But yeah, I would say 80 to 85% of the race was fairly clear.
Yeah. It was compelling race right there. And they had an obstacle at the end that it was called literally crawl under the Jeep. They had a Jeep or whatever truck it was, and they had like a pit, and you know how sometimes you'll do like a trench crawl or whatever in Spartan. They dug it underneath one of these off-road vehicles, and they had three or four of them there. So it was a cool way to end the race, like, and incorporate a sponsor.
Sponsor? Yeah. What was the sponsor? We're not giving shouts here. They're not paying us.
No, we're not paying. It was a
didn't recognize the logo.
No, it was definitely not a U.S. brand.
What are examples of that? The tire flip.
Yokohama. Yeah.
And is there where the sponsor makes them have an obstacle in the event? Pretty funny.
Yeah. Like the Home Depot bucket carry. That's what they should do.
That should have been.
The Homer bucket carry.
Lowe's the next year.
Yeah.
On the women's side, Dulce Velasquez Flores wins in 119.11. Eloisa Godinez Romero was 119.37. So another very close race.
Yeah.
And Isabel Bolivar finished in 125.15.
Yep. Yeah. Eloisa is Eugenio's sister and she was on the podium at the Mexican National Series race last time in October, I want to say.
Here's a Jack Bauer trivia question. Have we ever had siblings on a National Series podium?
I'm sure they have at some point in the past in Mexico.
Outside of those two. We've had husband and wife, obviously.
The Kempsons. Husband and wife. We've had several tandems of that.
But ever sibling? Same family.
Okay. Was Savage Race when the Green Brothers, was that a National Series race or was that?
Not a National Series race. It was their pro division, okay. But not a series race.
Not the series. Okay. That's
which I believe I also misspoke on in the last episode.
Yeah.
The show is about just saying stuff and then correcting ourselves the next week. That's
yeah.
A whole section.
There might be some. I thought there's some twin overseas or there are some twins overseas, but like the Chetineau sisters. They might not be twins, but Angelique and Sandra, both of them, they're from France. They've raced in the Middle East, but they may have been on podium at some point together. But
so we can't confirm any other historical occurrence.
Probably not.
All right, Jack, write it down.
Shot well, eventually.
I think that the Eugenio and Eloisa probably have at some point in Mexico, but they might just be adding to their total.
Tune in next week for more Bracken Crocker race brain teasers.
Yeah. Right.
And it is a teaser because I don't provide any sort of payoff.
Yeah.
They're the hypotheticals. Bracken's hypotheticals. Like, yeah. I don't know.
And if no, And if no one was, Bracken would be like, well, they could become the first one if they pull it out. Like, he was ready to have a comeback there.
No, I know they already did it. So I wouldn't even have to say they could.
Oh, okay. Yep. Got all the facts. I'll actually look it up. Though.
Shot Egg Brothers will eventually.
Oh, yeah. No, they're monsters. Look out for Joshua. He's fit. Paul, you said?
The Calls.
Oh, the Calls. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The Sheila Gidites.
Yeah. Are there any other, like in hybrid, are there any siblings?
Sibling combos?
Paulie and I got a regular podium. We got Stadium Series podium together. Does that count?
It's like you and the Kempsons were pretty.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
pretty BK, close.
You're there. I don't know. I don't,
brothers, sisters.
I don't know if there's siblings in hybrid anywhere. I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
But I can't think of it.
Nope.
Jack, you get your brother out there.
All right.
We have two 30-minute 5K guys teaming up.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. So Angelique and Sandra Chetineau, they got third and fourth at the Middle East 2017 championship. So almost pulled it off.
You guys want to talk about CrossFit at all? Then we'll wrap this thing up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Turn into.
I got the hybrid racer leaderboard up here. Let's take a look at that. Miriam Van Roer was, I think, third in this event worldwide, maybe second. So she does well again. I thought she was going to win the Open, but I think it was being Gracie Walton. Yeah. So she's in good form when it comes to short CrossFit style events. These events also, I think we talked about last week, but 25% of the top 25% in the Open move on to quarterfinals. And the previous year it's been 10. So these workouts didn't have to weed out as many people. So the style of them were fairly similar in terms of skill and weight. So that is clearly in Miriam's favor for this, where she is the best in the world here. And we might not see her pass many other rounds.
Yeah. Real quick. I did find the answer. So Angelique and Sandra, they did get first and second in a South Korea National Series race in 2022. So it has.
There we go.
Just wanted to put a button on that. There may be others. Maybe I'll look that up next week. See for trivia.
I believe one week is in 60th overall in the region. No, maybe 40th or 60th in the region. So she'll move on. It'll be interesting to see if she continues to kind of move through this stage. But I don't know. Let's see how everybody else did.
Wait, I have a question. Isaiah is officially representing Mexico. Is that citizenship or you just declare who you represent?
I don't know if it matters.
What region is he in?
It's still North American West.
West? Okay.
Which he would be if he was in Colorado.
Does he have dual citizenship? Has he denounced? Did he reestablish? What's going on here?
I don't know.
Or can you just claim whatever you want?
You might be able to claim whatever you want in CrossFit. I don't know.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm from the Faroe Islands. Just some place with limited competition. Just got to do that.
Either way, he's crushing.
Yeah.
He's crushing. He was 40th, I believe, in the region. So if you make it to the next round, everybody makes it, basically. From quarters to semis, they take the top 40 in each region, at least the North American regions. And those people move into an in-person competition, semifinals, then it's like top 8 to 10 or to 12. They determine it later based off of kind of like strength of competition. So someone like Isaiah, who made it to semifinals last year and was not too far back, I think in the top 20. So he has a shot to make the games.
Yeah.
He has a shot to make the games.
I'm impressed with Jake Gibbs. I didn't know that
he's good at CrossFit.
That he was that good.
He is good at CrossFit. He was able to finish that last workout. I was happy that I was able to beat Bo Wills. Take that. Beat my ass and everything else.
All those muscle ups.
You just can't get past Parisini, though.
I know.
It's too wild for you.
I know. Look at this. He got two of those. Like, this is my score was everything except the last round of muscle ups. I didn't get any. And he got two.
Two.
Got and two. It was five to finish it off at the end.
Seven.
Seven. Okay.
Seven. Yeah. Jake, finished with 1 second remaining. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was going to say 15 minute time cap. He just snuck under there.
Yeah.
So you're a quarterfinals athlete, right, Rich?
count me in. I was like 95th percentile, man. I'm well up in there. As soon as they add any type of heavy lift, I mean, thrusters 135 for your boy. That's not light. That's not a lightweight.
My so hands, you got hands are, sponsors.
Check out this thing. Freaking, this is what happened to my freaking hand during this.
Stigmata. Nice.
They're hurt.
I hate when that happens.
And yeah. I wore the gymnastics gloves and everything like this. And I was like, I should be fine. And I started ripping.
Did you chalk up under the glove?
Oh, yeah. Chalk everywhere. It took a ton of time. Yeah, this whole event was just muscular for me. So I was like kind of checking my heart rate. I was like, I should be fine. And then my hands just ripped it to pieces. So that's my excuse.
That sucks.
That's my excuse.
So you had a birthday and you're a quarterfinals athlete. This is a heck of a week for you, Rich.
I'm you had a going. Birthday. I was on Sunday.
That. Middle name Patrick. St. Patrick's Day is his birthday. You should remember
that. Richard Patrick Ryan, born on St. Patrick's Day. Irish fella.
RPR Irish Racing.
Fella. RPR Racing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who else was on the list a little lower? Just checking.
Ah, PR Racing. I like it.
Is that Lawrence Smith who filled in?
Yep, like Lawrence Smith out there. Nice. So 107. Dave Claxton,
you said he wouldn't do it. Look at that. He tried it.
Showed up. Can't do a bar muscle up. I was giving him shit. Yeah, 107 is if you made it through, and then that's how many it would take to get to the muscle ups. I was like, Dave, you should be able to do a freaking muscle up. How yoked he is upper body wise. He's probably just trying to muscle the thing too much. I do no muscle. I just use all momentum.
He brings the bar to his chest.
Yeah, and then he's trying to pressure. Fight over the thing. I don't pull for 1 second. E-Rock in the mix. All right. Anything else? Do you want to look at the actual thing? I guess this is really kind of outside of our, this is a little outside of our thing, but we got.
It's a competition where we have
niche competition.
Hybrid people. OCR people.
So type in Lauren Weeks' name on the leaderboard.
I can do that. It's going a little slow. We got a lot of stuff going on.
That's fine.
The live stream, the recording. Yonakoski. Yeah, Miriam Vermeer finished second.
That's crazy.
It looked like someone got, I wonder if they did hit Rebecca Fuselier. She might end up with a penalty or two based on how it was looking.
Type in Lauren Weeks and you'll see why.
Imagine taking a first and a second and not winning.
I know. And like 37th isn't even bad.
No.
Should you get everyone else's? All right. Is this ranked in, what's going on with the number on the left side? That's what I was trying to get it ranked by.
Oop, the total?
Yeah, rank.
Yeah, hold on.
You're ranking it off of 24.
Ranking it off 24.
So sort, overall. Do overall. Yeah.
Should just be able to click it.
All right. Scroll down to her. Look who's two below her.
Yeah.
Two-time games champion, Katrin David's daughter.
Katrin Tanya David's daughter.
Daughter, yeah.
Legit. Super legit. Super legit.
Too legit.
Too legit. She shouldn't quit.
She legit.
That's what we need. Let's see it in terms of region. I wonder if she'll do it. I bet she will do quarters.
60.
How's West versus East looking this year?
East, I think, is a little bit better. Kelly Stone, holler. CrossFit Omnia.
Nice.
Yeah, 60th in here. So, like, again, heavy lifts will be a problem, but she might be able to make it into the semifinal. The semifinal in the West is, I think, 2 weeks before High Rocks Worlds.
I wouldn't do it.
But, hey, that's not how Lauren rolls. Lauren does stuff.
I know.
Lauren does stuff.
Where's Katrin training out of?
Idaho.
Coeur
d'Alene.
Katrin David's daughter?
I clicked on her profile. So
wow, really? Because she was with...
She was in Boston with Ben Bergeron for a while.
And then she went to Matt Fraser, the Hard Work Pays Off. That's where she was last year anyway. But maybe she's still there, but not... maybe declared somewhere else. Emily Rithwell, she was at the... She was second behind Carly at... Battle Bunker. That's a thing that's happening. Battle Bunker.
Couple weeks, yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about it.
So Miriam, does she have a legit chance?
So Anthony Parisini, Lauren's husband, is pretty dialed in with this. And Miram's max snatch is below what the standard would need to be a games athlete. So if something like that gets programmed, she's going to have a hard time. But if it's clean and jerk, her numbers are very competitive. So it just depends on the programming. You know,
what's her limiter? Do you know? Between the clean snatch, and jerk and snatch?
I don't know. Maybe it has to be some sort of
mobility,
overhead mobility.
I know she had Rich Ryan shoulders or what.
That's right. She's tipped forward the whole time. Everything's like this. All right.
Does she have a gymnastics background? She's only like 22. I don't know if like her full athletic background, but I'm sure handstand walks are probably okay for her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what her height, what her skill, what her skill level is when it comes to CrossFit stuff.
But are those two, Isaiah and Miram, are those our two best shots?
Yeah, Isaiah, same thing, man. Like his lifting is just not close to where it should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we want a hybrid athlete in there, or just do like the Hunter McIntyre way of just talking shit until you get in. I worked once.
It'll never happen again.
And then Cross was like, that was probably that's way worse than Hyrox had any type of championship qualifier. It's like, let's just let everybody in and we'll just like invite random people too. Yeah. So that won't happen again. All right.
Yep.
To wrap this thing up, shortest episode ever.
Wrap it.
What do we got next week? Anything going on this weekend?
Can't wait for the season to get going.
It's not till May.
No, it's going to get busy pretty soon, honestly.
March Madness. I've watched zero college basketball. So we won't talk about that.
Yeah. I'm going to fill in a bracket, though. Nick Riker going for a sub 2 800 in a few weeks.
We're really reaching here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot. So we'll come up with some sort of topic. We've done it before. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
It's not going to be shoes, guys. You couldn't even make me if you wanted to.
Nothing new?
Yeah.
And this, since this last time I talked to you, did you get that chipmunk?
No.
Rack, have you grown out facial hair?
No, it's just there.
That beard is hanging.
A little bit of a 5 o'clock shadow when you turned your head to the left.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a 5 a day shadow.
Yeah, okay.
Bought a go-kart last night, though, Rich, instead of a treadmill.
That's for the fam.
So Brady's in the mix now.
Is he like leveled up?
He is fired up.
Gas powered, the whole deal?
Oh, yeah.
Got to get him a...
Go about 50.
That's like legit. Are you worried? A little scary.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
That means probably
we're all that age before.
Yeah. Got the fireproof suit thing kind of deal?
Skid proof for karting. They don't worry about fireproof until you get into a car.
All right. Well, that's pretty scary.
His insurance is going to be pretty high once he gets his license.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, he's dialed.
Make sure
the
he
other
knows.
Kids you got to worry about.
Make sure he knows the sacrifice that you put for him, where you could have had a curved treadmill, but instead.
I had a curved treadmill.
But instead. All right, squad. Again, if you're checking us out on Patreon, thanks for joining us live. Make sure we get into that Facebook group so we can get the chats going on in there. If you're interested in supporting us through Patreon, you can check the link down in the show notes. We appreciate everybody. Everybody that helps support us and get us through and who's checking us out, who's watching, listening. We've been going for, it'll be 2 years in May.
Yeah.
2 years in May. So 100 plus episodes. We're doing all right. We're doing okay.
We beat the Riker line of podcasts.
Yes, definitely. We did.
9. That was the Matt Davis line.
All right, squad. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, boys.